Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Labors for Christ Word Life Center Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering, our spiritual life and growth and development as we search the scriptures, as we dig deeper into an understanding of the mysteries that God is revealing around us. We gather in a spirit of oneness for our new beginning, an awakening, our new beginning, which is our prayer and declaration for the month of August. Jehovah Yassar, the Lord is the potter. For the month of August, and it is fast coming to a close, it is the month of our new beginning. We decree and declare it. And I believe those that were present in worship service on Sunday could witness the manifestation of the miracles that are being following this ministry. And we pray the Isaiah 43 and 19. Well, the Bible tells us, watch closely. I am preparing something new, something unheard of. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Water will flow where there had been none. Hallelujah. And when we just reflect on our Sunday worship service, and he says, watch closely. We have to always be watching and listening for the move of the Spirit so that we can position ourselves under the open heaven to receive the blessings that God is pouring upon us. We started this summer with the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, and the oil of praise. And we're ending it with the seven prophetic oils of new beginnings, the oil of vision, the oil of obedience, the oil of hope, the oil of ministry, the oil of faith, the oil of wealth, the oil of health, and the oil of deliverance. And as the spiritual leadership in house have gone through expounding on these oils, and we're now at the oil of deliverance, which is the oil, hallelujah, of victory and of freedom. And of freedom. So we thank God for the prophetic word that has gone over this house, and we confess that this will be, has been, and will continue to be our turnaround month. And we will walk according to Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I release the name of God, Jehovah Yahshua. The Lord is the potter. And we give you, Lord, permission to shape the new beginnings you have for us this month as we surrender and submit in your hands in Jesus' name. Now, the scripture of power and promise that the blood of Jesus has released over us comes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creature. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And again, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, from the Voice Version, he says, "I know God has made everything beautiful for its time. God has also placed in our minds a sense of eternity. We look back on the past and ponder over the future, yet we cannot understand the doings of God." And so we surrender to them. We surrender to his will. We submit to his hands upon our lives, shaping us. And in Genesis 1:13, the word is, "Then God surveyed everything he had made, savoring its beauty and appreciating." And he's talking about us and the land that he created, the world that he created, the world that is about us, and the world that he has released to the influence of Labors for Christ Word Life Center. So we thank you for coming and continually to draw near to God, draw to your Goshen during this season and time of turmoil and plague and trouble and collapse and anger and hatred and violence. We're in that place of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwelt in the midst of the Egyptians. And as the plan and the plagues came forth over the Egyptians, it did not come nigh to them, for they had come nigh to God. And that is what we desire to do in this season. We are admonished to do it. We are compelled to do it. It is a clarion call, and it is an urgent clarion call for us to stand under the anointing in the power that is released through the blood of Jesus Christ over our giftings and our callings, so that they may be surrendered to God to bring about his will on earth as it is in heaven. And so we thank and praise God for you being here this evening, preparing your hearts for the teaching and the ministry, and asking our overseer of prophetic worship if she will open us up in prayer.
So God, we come and we thank you, lift you up, and we exalt your holy and your righteous name, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for that which you are going to sow into us and impart into us in this hour of teaching and revelation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that it will fall on good soil and it will produce a harvest. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for this soil that we're planted in. We thank you for laborers for Christ, Word Life Center, Father God, and we thank you for the angel of this house, Father God. Now we thank you, God, as we are one. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that in oneness and in unity, Father God, we come together in this hour to learn of you collectively, Father God. Thank you for manifesting yourself unto us now. God, we pray, Father God, that we will have an ear to hear that which you are saying to this church, to this body of Christ, Father God. And we thank you for the invitation to join you in this hour. And our hearts say yes, Father God. We thank you for obedient spirits, thirsty spirits, ready to learn and to receive more of you, that which you have for us. We thank you, Father God, that this moment has been sealed in heaven. It has been settled and solidified in heaven, and we thank you for the manifestation of it now, Father God. We pray that we receive all that the Father has for us now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you so much, Overseer. Now we will turn the remaining of our class into the hands of our apostle. There's just a section of scripture that I would like to just share with you as it relates to the times that we're living in today. And the word of the Lord is always an encouragement to our soul. And just now, looking for some glasses so I can read it. Because part of our declaration was that he's given us an understanding of the eternal, an understanding of the eternal. And that makes a huge difference in how we respond to the world around us. And so he shared with us in Revelation. All right, please forgive me. I'm really fast trying to see it. And I believe we have seers on the line as well. And all of these things are a part of what the Lord is revealing to the church today. Says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. That's a new name of God. The desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And that's out of Haggai 2:6-9. And it's, this passage covers an array of end time perspectives. Five times the Lord is called the Lord of hosts, which speaks to his appearance in the latter day as the ruler of nations, the commander of army of hosts, and even includes the Elijah revolutionary. When he comes in takeover mode, he will shake everything can be shaken. Hebrews 12:25-29 shares with us, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised say, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicating the removal of those things that have been shaken, as of things that are made, the things that cannot be shaken shall remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And as we hear the voice of Kevin speaking prophetically, even to us today, when he said he's shaking everything, every mountain of influence in the last 6 to 7 months has been shaken by that which is out of the control of man. That is God shaking. And he indicates to us, when he finished shaking, and he is not finished, the only thing that is going to remain is that which is unshakable. And the only thing that is unshakable is the kingdom of the living God. So just bringing our focus around to what the Word of God has shared to encourage us during this time so that we understand the victory that is mine and that is ours through Jesus Christ. So now at this time, we are going to turn the remainder of the service over to our apostle. Apostles?
Just as we begin to look at, or continue to look, I should say, at our August prophetic declaration, prayer and declaration, I guess this is as good a time as any to just kind of go over it, remind people of what the 8 prayer and declarations are, so that you will be prepared. I'm excited for everybody that's on the line so that this information as it is going out, and I'm looking forward to this Sunday, because what we will do this Sunday is we will divide these 8 prayer and declarations up amongst 8 leaders who will have approximately 3 minutes to share on their assigned one, and we will, in between them, have our worship experience. So it's kind of like really worship and word, a kind of worship and word Sunday. And prayerfully, all of this will put us in preparation as we prepare for the upcoming September, month of September, that which we will be doing in September. So, the month of August, prayer and declaration, the name of God for the month of August speaks to the Lord is Potter. And so, if we can just kind of focus our attention for a few moments on that and begin to look at Isaiah 64 and 8, Isaiah 64 and 8, and when you have it, let us know. It doesn't matter what version you get it in. Let's just have fun with whatever version individuals want to read it out of. But Isaiah 64 and 8 says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand. So it reminds us that we're clay, we equal the clay, and he alone is the potter. But equally as important, the scripture says that all of us are the work of his hand. And I believe that is important for us to understand as we begin to understand what it looks like being fitly joined together and just the diversity of anointing that the hand of God holds. And so when we think about the hand, we often think about the fivefold, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist.
But as we reflect on that, as we think about the hand of God, the scripture says that it is within the scope of his hand that he holds all who belong to him, and he holds us along with our giftings, our callings, our anointings, our talents. And the word of the Lord says that he is the one that molds and shapes us, and we are without a doubt moldable. And so I want us to begin to look at, as it relates to the eight prophetic oils of new beginning, the oil of vision, the oil of obedience, the oil of hope, the oil of ministry, the oil of faith, the oil of wealth, the oil of health, and the oil of deliverance. The Bible says that we are clay. He is molding and shaping us as the potter, and the process of making clay and it getting hard and going through the fire, and that we're all in his hands. And so one of the things I want us to take into consideration on this evening is what areas, as it relates to the eight prophetic oils of new beginning, needs molding, needs shaping, needs further development, needs refining. Is it your vision? The Bible says, for without a vision, the people perish. Is there an aspect of your existence that is beginning to diminish because there is not clarity within the scope of the vision, or because you don't necessarily have clarity of the scope of the vision? The Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. And so oftentimes within the scope of the vision, we have vision, but we have not embraced the vision by which ministry is processing and moving in. And so is that an area that the potter says that as clay in his hands, there's some molding and shaping that needs to begin to happen? Is it within our obedience? The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Have there been some sacrifices that we have had to make, not because the Lord required it, but because our disobedience demanded it? And so is our obedience the clay that the potter is molding and shaping? Is it the oil of hope? The definition that the ambassadorial prophet released was hope as this for long suffering or for the promise or waiting. So the Bible encourages us, it encourages us as we ask the Lord how long, he says until. Have we been anointed with the hope of Christ to stay the course? So does our hope, does our ability to believe the promise no matter how long it carries, is that something that the potter sees as clay that needs in his hand that needs to be molded and reshaped and reformed? Now remember the word of the Lord said in Isaiah 64:8, he says, look, all of his, in his hands are all of his works. It's the works of his hands. And so for some of us, we go, oh, no, I have clarity of vision, or this is a very obedient season for me, or I am moving in faith. But I want us to now look at this from a broader perspective, because he says everything and everybody that he is in his hands. So if as individuals we have it, do we have it, does it need perfecting to fit in his hand for the greater good of the whole? Not individually, but collectively. So then the next one being the oil of ministry, the oil of ministry. Now the potter says,
to add under the oil of hope, that one of the things you mentioned
was him shaping that hope within our spirit. And as we are on Tuesday morning prayer, the order of the prayer starts with the blood and then the promises. And the blood is an assurance that the promises will manifest themselves. And so as we unify in prayer, he is using that unity of prayer to shape and to grow up our hope in some promises that perhaps we've forgotten about, or we had never gotten to, or they haven't really come alive in our spirit and in our experience. And so as we share in prayer and oneness, we are putting ourselves in position so that this hope can, that's being, I guess I want to say that's being exponentially applied to us as a group, will now bring us the power and the empowerment to then continue under the oils that are coming. And so that hope through the promises of God, and sometimes we know the promises, but sometimes we have to be reminded that the power of the blood of Jesus releasing the manifestation and the fulfillment of those promises in the earth realm. So, as he says, what he's overcome, we're going to overcome, and we'll get to the oil of deliverance because it is the oil of victory. We need to understand just in our daily experience in life to incorporate this new level of hope that the potter is working into us as best.
Amen. Amen. When we, as we reflect on hope, it isn't like that magical, I really hope something happens, or I'm wishing really, really hard. It is this internal safety and security and confidence that because God is, this is. So because God is, whatever it is I'm hoping for, I have the ability. I have the, within me lies the, even the desire to wait it out because I know in whom my hope, has its foundation is. Oh, amen. The oil of ministry, as we talk about tools and buildings, it is so easy that as we're in ministry to get to that place where the focus becomes I've sown and I have worked in another man's field, and now it's time for me to launch out into the deep and do me. But the scriptures, one of the things I believe that we need to begin to look at is that this potter is saying, look, all of my work is in my hand, and every kingdom assignment incorporates its kingdom citizens. And so all of us are working towards and in the kingdom to fulfill one vision, and it isn't the vision of each individual organization, but it is that thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And so it's at any point, it isn't about the will of God being done so that the kingdom of God can come. We have to begin to shift. And so remember, as we're looking at these eight prophetic oils for new beginning, because the mandate is in August, this new beginning, and the scripture, and overseer, if you can get that scripture, it talks about, look, well, I've not gone this way before. This is new. I've never gone this way before. So as we reflect on the potter and being clay, our understanding of the potter and what it means to be clay cannot be an understanding that we have had in times past to get us to a particular destination. Because he says, look, it's beyond what you see. You've not gone this way before. You're not even familiar with this because my ways are not your ways. now the Bible tells us in Ephesians, until they all come into the unity of the faith. And so he says, I have you in my hand. I am this great potter. You're this clay that I have to continue to mold and make fit for my greater good. And so he reminds us, he says, look, you're in my hand, and there's the work that I need to do, because the ultimate goal is for us to come into the unity of. Well, then what is the unity of if we've not gone this way before? Okay, the oil of wealth. He speaks of these generational blessings and innovations and creativity. So what is it that the pattern is doing to us, or not to us, with us? At this point, he's doing something with us as it relates to the oil of wealth that he's doing in his hand in concert with everyone else. You really have to hang out in the book of Acts now, because Acts says, look, they have all things in common. That's the way that we don't understand, that we haven't gone. But he says, I'm bringing wealth in a way that you won't understand it, but it will bring my kingdom to a place of commonality, because there won't be any lack within it as they understand what I'm doing with them in it. The oil of health. And I focused, I believe, last Sunday was on 3 John 2, when he says, look, above all, I desire that you prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. And so, but what is this new way? What is this way that we haven't gone? What is the potter doing with clay? And is the remolding and reshaping us in his hand as it relates to the oil of health? How is he desiring to usher self under the umbrella of a new beginning? Now, remember, these are eight prophetic oils, and they are all progressive. And so he's starting with vision. He's going to obedience. And from obedience, you bring about hope. And from hope, out of hope, is birth of ministry. Out of ministry, faith is developed and discovered. Out of faith, wealth is released. Health has to align itself with wealth so that it can be a container, which then becomes foundational for this oil of deliverance. This oil of deliverance that says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This oil of deliverance that says, I no longer have to be bound. This oil of deliverance that says, I now, where there may have been generational curses and things of that, it stops with me, and those generational habits or disorders no longer have permission to flow past me, because before I received the oil of deliverance, I received the oil of health. And so out of my health, which came as a result of my wealth, which was released as a result of my faith, which was birthed under the oil of ministry, which my hope gave a feast to, and my obedience released the vision for deliverance, says that you've never gone this way before. You don't know that you can now live in an overflow, live in a...
Yeah, we're so sorry that the technical difficulties with the telephone, but as Apostle was sharing, we want to be prepared on Sunday for the progressive move of God through these oils of anointing, these blessed oils that started with praise and gladness and the July one was gladness and praise. Someone on the line, do you know the other one that was for July? I was on the blank here. Alrighty then. The oil of
I'm
joy.
I'm looking it up now over here. Give me one minute.
The oil of joy. oil of joy, the oil of gladness, and the oil of praise led us to these eight prophetic oils. And so when we share them, we want to receive the power of the revelation of them to transform our thinking and our action, so that our mindset will be transformed into the mind of Christ, where the only thing Christ cared about when he was on earth was doing his Father's will. It didn't matter if he was physically comfortable or uncomfortable, if he was financially comfortable or none of emotionally comfortable or relationally comfortable. The only thing that's that place of uncomfortability that apostles shared with us, that's the positioning that we have to get in. And then the prophet shared that position of surrender, submitting, and then sacrificing. And sacrificing, all of these things are being tied together for us as we go forth into the new beginning. We can't have a new beginning without these things transforming us. And as the scripture said, everything else in the past is gone. It is, you know, it is of the past, and that everything now is new. It is new in Christ with the mind of Christ, which is what empowers us to then bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we share these oils, they're not just phrases or terminology, but they are actually tools and spiritual weapons that we are going to have the understanding of how to use them to overcome the war that is coming, and a war is coming. It is shared with us in scripture time and time again, through in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. We need to start studying the doctrine of end times, so that we're not just always mouthing, "Wow, did you see this? Do you believe this happened?" Those are words that we don't need to release in the atmosphere. Rather, the words we need to release in the atmosphere will cause people to understand the eternity that is fast approaching for everybody. And so that has to be a part of the passion that fuels us for the vision of God and not our own, for the obedience of sacrifice that must happen. It must happen, because we don't come here obedient. And we have flesh things. One of the questions at the conference was, why do you hate God? And so many people go, "Oh, no, I don't hate God." And yet he said, "Unless you obey me, then you don't love me." And so there's no other side of love other than hate. And so I think we need to now look at the things as they are, black and white, good and evil, right and wrong. The Bible says in the end time, men will, you know, it'll become like a vague line, you know, the gray area. There's no gray area with God. And either it is of God or it is of the devil. There's nothing in between. And we can't flirt with those things that are of the devil and then think that we can displace him out of our lives, our children's lives, our financial lives, or our emotional lives, or our sick lives. We can't displace the evil one if we have some part with him. And that is honoring those things that he honors, and acknowledging even those things that do not acknowledge God, but rather acknowledge the evil one. And so I believe that in this movement, and he said there will be a great falling off. So don't look around and wonder where the people are. Look around and know that the angels have been sent on assignment. They are lined up waiting on us to release a word for them to go into action. And that's what we need to be. That's the way we need to be viewing these things. There's high activity in the spirit realm, kinds of evidence of that. And we need to understand that greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. And we have no reason to fear, for we are given the empowerment of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is resurrection power that will overcome and defeat any and everything, which is why it is coming a time when God's name will be the desire of all nations, because they will understand that without him, that there is a hell that will start and never end. There will be destruction and, what do they say, gashing of teeth and burning of the embers of hell, the sulfurs of hell, sulfur. Okay. And Timothy says, ouch. And it'll be a more than an ouch. Okay. And we have to. Yeah, we have to. We need to get to a place now where we understand this and that we are motivated by it. We are fueled by it. Our passions burn for it, so that no matter what God would have us to do, then we're ready to do it. No matter what God required of Jesus Christ, he did it and counted it all joy, because he knew it was bringing about the desire of his Father on earth for us, no less, for us. And so we should want nothing less than that same heart, that same passion of love to our fellow man, that we will do whatever it needs to do, whatever God needs to do through us to point to his Son, who is their only, which is our last oil of deliverance, oil of deliverance. Amen. Insights, revelation, input. All right.
So we definitely look forward to what is going to take place. We honor what has taken place and actually what is taking place within the spirit realm all around us, within the spirit realm that we are existing or coexisting in. And we pray that spiritually you would begin to prepare yourself, begin to anticipate some form of communication to go out between now and Saturday. Just letting you know to be ready, be ready, be ready. Thank you for those of you who have taken time out to be a part of this class, this call. We really appreciate it, and we pray that the spirit of revelation and divine insight will rest upon you in such a way that you will be those that the Lord would use to bring forth an awakening. It's our prayer and declaration for you and moving forward. And so apostolic blessings be released unto you, and we'll see you on Sunday. Goodbye.
Amen.
Later.
Amen. Good night.